It's green for go, they're racing.
He says go.
He says ta-da.
And Tiger Tara roars away from them on the home turn.
Here comes another big boil over.
Equine Athleticism at its best.
The King is in the castle once more.
This is in one race, the rest are almost in another post.
She is a star with a capital S.
It's going to be a triple treat, a miracle three-peat.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have witnessed history here at Menangle. What about that?
It's getting right up on the sprint lane and it's going to bolt in.
Hello and welcome to episode 93 of the Sprint Lane podcast for Harness Racing New South Wales. This is the Sunday session. My name is Greg Hayes. It's great to have your company this week. Big thank you to our first-time listeners. The only way this podcast can get bigger is for you to tell your mates about it. So if you enjoy the show, let your harness mates know about it. Plenty going on in the world of harness racing. The Queensland Winter Carnival coming up Saturday night's. Hi, my name is Jeff Winner, is getting ready for a Queensland raid after his win at Club Menangle. Jack Callaghan doing the majority of the driving for Jason Grimson now. I thought I'd get Jack on the podcast this week to have a chat about the win of Hi, my name is Jeff. It was the first leg of a winning double for Jack, so there's plenty to talk to him about, and I look forward to speaking with him soon. Speaking of doubles, huge congratulations to Alan Alal, who not only trained his first Metro winner at headquarters when Bartello won on Saturday night, he quickly doubled up with Ultimate Bird, giving him two. Now, I messaged Alan after the victories, and he rang me, and he said he gets a bit nervous doing interviews and the like, and he asked if he could, if his son Grant could do the interview, because he does a lot of the work with the horses. They basically work in together. So, of course, I gave Grant a ring, and he's on the podcast. Big effort from the Alal pair. Two great drives from Chris Geary as well. Still only a young bloke, but in good form, turning the clock back a little bit and driving a few winners. So, congratulations to both Alan, Grant, and even Chris with a double at Menangle on Saturday night. I love first-time winners. And this week we saw a couple of first-time winners. First, it was George Lee when Jungle Eyes proved too strong in a trot race at Canberra. Obviously, Canberra, not in New South Wales, but we still follow the Canberra form pretty closely. Now, George is only 16. I reached out to him on social media, also tried to make contact on the phone, but unfortunately, I didn't hear back from George. So he's not on the podcast, but congratulations to George with his first win. But we did see Toby Pay Salute with his first winner at Dubbo on Friday night. He drove one for his father, Brett. I'll catch up with Toby, find out a little bit more about him. He's still a student mixing study with the horses, so Toby Pay will join me on the podcast as well. Going to have a fourth guest this week. I know this podcast is all about New South Wales, but I read with interest about Queensland Administrator Brad Steele being picked up by Harness Racing New Zealand to be the new CEO. Now, Brad's done some great things in Queensland, and I thought it would be good to speak with Brad about the move across the ditch. Very important for the strength of Australian harness racing that New Zealand holds its own. They've got a lot going on there in New Zealand with some changes, and Brad's got plenty of fresh ideas despite how long he's been involved in harness racing, and I'm really looking forward to speaking with Brad Steele about his new role later on in the podcast, so we'll catch up with Brad Steele. Mr. T will be back with a couple of winners, hopefully. I found two last week. Mr. T found one, so I've set up a bit of a lead in our tipping challenge. Mr. T, now, I must be fair to him. He's struggling a bit, of course, loves his Bathurst form, and there's no Bathurst racing at the moment with those track renovations going on right now. Now, no Bathurst again on Wednesday. There will be a meeting later on in the week, but no fields, obviously. So it's my chance to maybe slip further in front. We'll see. A couple of tips coming up later on in the show. Also, Menangle Express is back. I'll look at every race at Menangle on Saturday night. I'll tell you what I saw and see if I can spot a horse or two to follow into the future. Big show, four guests. So let's get straight into it. First up, time to speak with Jack Callaghan.
Hi, my name is Jeff. Comes around the final corner, 4 metres in front of Hot and Treacherous and I'll Ever Bubbles as they straighten for the run to the judge. 27-3. What's Jeff got? Hi, my name is Jeff. Gets 4 metres, 5 metres. Hot and Treacherous peels. I'll Ever Bubbles peels. He's got to get to work here. The leader is Hi, my name is Jeff. Out after it quickly now is Hot and Treacherous. But Hi, my name is Jeff is lifting. Hi, my name is Jeff. A neck in front in the shadows. And Hi, my name is Jeff goes home to win it again. again. Hi, my name is Jeff. Beats Hot and Treacherous. I'll have a Bubbles Grimson trifecta.
Well, Jack Callaghan, there would have been a few little worries for him in the early stages of the main race, the Golden Mile tonight at headquarters, when Hi, My Name is Jeff just bucked a little bit in the run-up to the Mobile, but all's well that ends well, and my Hi, My Name is Jeff was too strong. Jack did the driving for Jason Grimson, and Jack's joining me to have a chat. Congratulations, Jack. Well done.
Thanks, Greg. It was a nice win.
Mate, a little bit of a worry in the score up. What were you thinking?
Yeah, he did it on me last week, two weeks ago, last start. He's just a horse that's full of energy and, you know, really got a lot of confidence at the moment, and he can just get above himself a little bit. So he's had a tendency in his career to, you know, put a foot wrong in the stripe every now and then, but it never gave me too much of a great concern, because I know he'll come back down pacing, but it probably wasn't ideal.
And then in the end, it worked out okay, because you're able to get your momentum up, and you were running at full speed when you got to the gate and the starter said go.
Yeah, that's right. He obviously chased the gate a little bit more than I would have liked, but he's a horse with great gate speed anyway, so yeah, he was able to get a fairly good run at it.
27.9 off the gate, 28.6 through the second quarter, and you were just able to control the race from there.
Yeah, that's right. He's kind of got the respect now that, you know, he's probably going to lead most of those races at Menangle, and even with his great gate speed, he's going to cross most fields, and ain't going to take a really good horse to sit outside him, so when you can roll fractions like that, it's going to be hard for them to beat him.
Mate, what did you think at the 200 when Hot and Treacherous came off your back? Were you worried at all?
Well, I could still feel he was travelling on my back quite good into the straight. I did think, and talking to Jace as well, that if horse came at Jeff, he would find a bit as well. So never felt like he was going to get past him, but he definitely, you know, to Hot and Treacherous' credit, ran a really good race and closed the margin down.
He obviously loves Menangle. Has Grimmo said it, whether he's going to Queensland with him or he's just going to concentrate on races in Sydney?
Yeah, I think the plan is to go to the Sunshine Sprint, probably just next start now. He should head up for that.
After that, the very next race, Carrera Sunset, was really good. Another one for Jason Grimson. And probably for the favourite backers who took the $1.80, they were probably a little bit worried, because it seemed to be a long way off them. But when Carrera Sunset put the, you know, the nose down and really started to go out after them, hit the line really strongly.
Yeah, she wasn't going to win until, you know, right on the line, but she's a bit of a funny mare. She's got a few quirks, and I don't think we've seen the best of her yet, so hopefully we can iron her out a little bit more and she can keep improving, but it was still a nice win.
Is she the sort of mare that needs to get back in her races and just come with that one run?
Probably at this stage. She's only kind of really been driven like that since Jason had her, and she hasn't probably got great gate speed to be able to use that either. But with time and a bit more exposure to those high-class races, she probably could develop a bit more strength, but at this stage, she's probably more of a chaser.
A couple of other runners that you drove tonight. Golden Bay, it finished second behind Foxy Dada, went 151-1 in that race and only beaten a metre and a half. Just got grabbed in the shadows of the post. What did you make of Golden Bay?
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good. He probably got lost a little bit out in front. When he put a big margin on him, he wanted to stargaze a little bit, but in saying that, he's gone a really quick time as well. And Foxy Dada's been a horse in great form that's been chasing extreme speed, so you can't knock those form lines. So he only went down narrowly, so I was still pretty happy with him.
Outside Fighter, he finished third behind Bartello. He's a funny horse, Outside Fighter, because he's super tough, but he just lacks that real high speed, and it can make him a tricky horse to finish off. But what did you make of him?
Yeah, I thought he was good. He's had a few tough trips lately. Like, he's always had to be coming first over, and, you know, once it was a slow first out last mile, it was going to make it hard to get into it, but I thought he did a pretty good job to, you know, probably be the leader and hold on for a place.
So, good night for you overall. Will you head to Queensland? I assume you will.
Yeah, I should be up there this coming Friday and Saturday, I'd say. So, I'm looking forward to getting up there and targeting a few bigger races.
All right, mate. Well, congratulations. Thanks very much for joining me, and all the best of luck up there in Queensland.
No worries. Thanks, Greg.
As Ultima Bird goes for home here, Lou's Dream in desperate need of a run, and Ricochet to the outside, 27.9 the split, and at the moment, this is well clear Ultima Bird, he's dusty, gives chase, Lou's Dream is angling to the outside to run on, the leader is Ultima Bird, it's a real long straight here, it leads the way by about 6 metres, he's dusty, Lou's Dream closing, the leader is still Ultima Bird, he's dusty, Lou's Dream flying, but Ultima Bird, dead set, Geary's pinched that, went home to win it.
Great to see Alan Alal get a double, a metropolitan double at headquarters. I sent a message to Alan to see if we could get him on the program. And he said, how about you speak to my son, Grant, because he does so much work with the horses. And it's he gets a little bit shy and nervous when he does the phone interview. So no dramas. We got on to Grant, and Grant's going to have a chat for the stable. Congratulations on the double, mate. Well done.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, Hazy.
Geez, the horses are going really well for your dad's stable at the moment.
Yeah, they've all sort of been in form at the moment. Just absolutely no luck in running, getting back in the field, and yeah, running the arms off the clock, and then yeah, just trying to make ground on them. But yeah, they finally found a bit of luck and getting good trips in the run.
Well, Bartello was the first of the double, and he's been in a purple patch of form because he put the riding on the wall with a second at Menangle back on the 18th of May, and since then it's just been bang, 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 three in a row, and he's just in the zone at the moment.
Yeah, that's right. We did a gear change with him that night and put the pull downs on him, and it's made the world of difference with him. He's really hitting the line now and racing to what we know he can do. So yeah, really happy with him.
Really smart drive by Chris tonight too. He was able to get in, was happy to take the spot behind the leader, and then just controlled when he came off and made sure that when he took off, nothing could go with him.
Yeah, that's right. Chris is he's been our stable driver for a long time now, and he looks after the horses and does a great job with them, and yeah, always puts them in the best spot. He's doing great.
So what's the plans with Bartello going forward?
He's key red eligible. We've gone to Brisbane twice with him now and haven't had any success to try and win that bonus with him, but seems like he loves home and loves Menangle, and he's going so good now. So with the Brisbane Carnival going at the moment, we'll probably just leave him around home, and he's picked up his first Saturday night win now, and probably just go into a couple of up to 80s and see if we can keep earning a bit of prize money with him.
The second leg of the double was Ultima Bird, and if Chris produced a 9 out of 10 in the earlier race, he produced an absolute pearler here. It was perfectly timed. Ultimate Bird showed good speed at the start, was able to shut the door on Lou's Dream getting off the inside, and then he controlled the race from in front.
Yeah, no, another great drive by Chris. He's a bit of a funny bugger. He can sort of switch off when he gets a little far in, but he hung on tonight, which was good.
Now, BPM Bloodstock, they raced that one. How did that connection come between your stable and BPM Bloodstock?
We've known Brendan for a while now. My uncle Simon Elul, he trained a few horses for him, and then we managed to get my Stella Rose. We bought in with her and had a lot of fun with her, and then they sort of just started from there, really. Brendan sort of sent us a couple more, and yeah, it's been good ever since.
We're expecting a win tonight. Like, the horse has obviously been in good form. It's won now two of its last three and split those two wins with a fourth. So what were you expecting going into tonight?
Yeah, his first up run was good. He managed to win first up here at Menangle, and His second run back, he sort of got back in the field, which doesn't really suit him. He's a better front runner, which he probably won all his races from out in front. And, yeah, we thought, well, we've been two runs into the prep and fitness is there, and we thought tonight was the night to press the button and, yeah, do what we know he likes to do, just get out in front and roll.
So do you and your dad work closely together, work the horses together?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. We both work full-time jobs and meet up at the grandparents' place in the afternoons and get the horses all worked and, yeah, it's all a family affair, yeah.
That's got to make a night like tonight pretty special because, you know, you've got full-time jobs and this is a passion you do on the side, and to come out and win two races at Menangle on a Saturday night is a pretty big thing.
Yeah, most definitely. It's actually our first Metro win and then made it the double, but, yeah, awesome. Even just the whole family affair, like Bartello, we bred him at home. My grandfather named him, and, yeah, he was born and raised on the property, and, yeah, just it means a lot.
What do you do? What do you do for a job?
I'm a cabinet maker by trade, and dad's a mechanic, and he's just ventured off, and he's got his own business now. He does street sweeping, and, yeah, that's their gigs.
And I guess you wouldn't have much time for anything else outside of the full-time job and the horses. That's probably taken up plenty of your time.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. By the time we sort of work, and especially this time of the year, it starts getting hard because it's dark quite early. But, yeah, I mean, it's our passion, it's our hobby, it's what we love doing. So it doesn't even feel like a job, to be honest. But, yeah, it's a great escape from work anyway.
How many horses do you guys work?
We've got four there at the moment, which is good enough number at this time of the year. Like I said, like the day's getting shorter and whatever because we obviously work. But yeah, four is a good number at the moment.
Oh well, congratulations! It's always good to see people win at Menangle. You know, first Metro winner, bang, and you double up with two. So it's a really good story. Great to see. Congratulations! Well done tonight.
Awesome, thanks, Maisie. Appreciate it.
Tear It Up the Sand still leads. On the outside, 2.5 metres away is Bridge on Fire, trying to stay on. They've got 12 in hand on Let's Taco About It. Rock and Roll Rambo, Erk McGlurk tries to start a looping run, but with 125 metres left to go, the leader still on the inside is Tear It Up the Sand. Bridge on Fire balances up and now starts to really issue the challenge very late. Rock and Roll Rambo and also Erk McGlurk, but Tear It Up the Sand will grip on. Tear It Up the Sand beats in second spot Bridge on Fire, Canberra third, Erk McGlurk, or Rock and Roll Rambo.
Love speaking to first-time winners on the podcast, and it was good to see Toby Pay open up his winning account at Dubbo on Friday night when Tearing Up the Sand proved too good for his dad, Brett, and Toby's joining me to have a chat. Congratulations, mate. Well done.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Great thrill to have a first winner.
Well, mate, it's taken you a while to break through for that first win in terms of time. You haven't had a lot of drives, but you started driving in 2022, 2023, weren't able to get one, but you finally broke through on Friday night. You must have been on top of the world after the victory.
Yeah, well, funny enough, when I went over the line, I didn't really feel much, but then I've been riding the cloud nine ever since this morning.
Yeah, mate, that's fantastic. Tell us about it, because Tearing Up the Sand, he began well. You're able to get to the front. You balanced him up really nicely, and then down the back straight, you took off, and Bridge on Fire didn't let you get too far away, and it looked to be a two-horse war from a fair way out.
Yeah, well, the plan was always to try and get him out and cross to the one and two horses, and then when he'd done that, yeah, we just balanced him up, let him do his own thing for the majority of the race, and then I only sort of had to go for him swinging for home.
And he was able to hang on. Now, you said you weren't sure whether you hit the line, whether you won or not when you hit the line?
Yeah, I sort of knew I won, but I just didn't have I didn't have much of a feeling. I was just going over the line and didn't really know how to react.
And what did Dad say when you got back?
Oh, he didn't say much. He just said, good on you, mate. Good drive.
And it was nice to get your first win. Mate, tell us a little about yourself. You're in year 12 at school?
Yeah, that's right. At the Dubbo College Senior Campus. Most of the way through. I think I only got about 12 weeks left of school and then sit me exams and then we'll just see what comes after that.
What are your plans? What are your plans after school, after year 12?
Oh, I don't really have many at the moment. I'm just thinking my plans are to apply for everything and then see what's available and see what I would like to do at the end of the year.
So, mate, how did you get involved in harness racing? Obviously, your dad's been involved in it for quite some time.
Yeah, well, we first go back to my pop, Greg Pay.
Yep.
He's been in them for a while, and then, yeah, Dad's been in them most of his life, and then same thing with me. I was very young when I first hung around the horses, and I haven't left since.
So you've always had an interest in the horses. How many does Dad normally work?
Dad's only got two in at the moment, but he has had up to four, but he's sort of cutting back now with his work commitments and just sort of wants to make sure he can do, like, the amount of horses he can properly.
Yep. And does that mean, like, you help him out, or are you helping out other trainers there in Dubbo? What goes on there?
Yeah, well, when I can, I'm always down here with Dad's horses, and then if other trainers want me to drive in track work or trials or anything, I'm more than happy to jump behind them and get any extra experience that I can, really.
And what about outside of racing? Obviously, at school, you've got the horses as well, so you'd be pretty full. Any other sports outside of horses?
No, I only do me horses. I did play soccer a couple of years ago, but then sort of gave that up as I was coming closer to getting me racing license.
Yeah. And so what's the plans now for the next few weeks? Do you have to buckle down and get ready for your exams, or will you have a little bit of time to spend going around with the horses?
I'm usually not too bad. Like, I do have enough time, like, after the horses and that to study for me exams and that. But, yeah, always sort of try and get to the horses whenever I can. Anything else comes second.
The Pay family, they're a very strong family out there in Dubbo. Your cousins, Jack and Tom, they've both had a lot of success in recent years driving winners. So is it all pretty fun when the family gets together?
Yeah, well, to be honest, they all sort of left me behind when I was getting my license. I was the only one in town that was actually doing any type of driving.
Yep.
So the only time I sort of race any of my cousins now is when Tom comes to town, and we had a good race there a couple months ago with the tearing up the sand where he ran second and I beat Tom by about half a length.
So tearing up the sand, is he going to be a horse that you'll remember forever?
I would have to think so.
Yeah, pretty special.
Yeah. Oh, to me he is. He might not be the size of the punters or anything, but yeah, no, I'd have a place for him.
Have you always had a bit of time for the horse all the way through?
Yeah, I sort of liked him all the way through. He just sort of had a few problems as a young horse, like he went sore and all that sort of stuff. So, like, I've always had an opinion of him and thought he could have done, or thought he can do something a bit more than what he has at the minute, but we don't really have any rush for him. If he gets there, he gets there, type thing.
And what's Dad going to do now? Is he going back to the races with him pretty quickly?
He's probably going to wait till Dubbo in a fortnight, but we just got to sort of see how the programming sets up for him at the minute.
Well, mate, it's a win you'll never forget, your first win. Great to see you win on Friday night, and good luck going forward.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I know we normally concentrate on New South Wales issues on this podcast, but I thought it would be timely to speak with Brad Steele, who is the chairman at The Creek in Queensland, but he's got a new role. He's going over to be the CEO of Harness Racing New Zealand, and it comes at a very, very important time. It's very important that we have a strong New Zealand if Australia are going to prosper, and I thought it'd be timely to catch up with Brad and have a little bit of a chat to him about it. Hello, Brad, how are you?
Yeah, great, Greg. Great to catch up with you.
Mate, the decision to go to New Zealand, was it a big one for you?
It probably was because we really don't have any, you know, family connections or anything like that across there. And it's a different country, but the one common thing that does exist though there is harness racing, and I love harness racing. So from that perspective, it was a pretty easy decision. But I've been in banking most of my life, Greg, and I've been thinking more about harness racing than what I have about banking. So I finished up in banking a few months ago, and then fortuitously this role, you know, became available.
You've done amazing things there in Queensland. Obviously, a very good board that you know, you're in charge of as the chairman. But what we've seen with that Queensland Carnival and what role it now plays on the calendar is astronomical. It's getting bigger and bigger as well. Has that been something you've been really proud of in what you've done in Queensland?
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. And I guess the part that I'm really pleased about is we work so well with Racing Queensland. So between Racing Queensland and the Albion Park Board, we work together. We don't always agree, but we've worked together on this Winter Carnival. And the exciting thing for me is that the carnival hasn't matured yet. I still think there's a way to go as far as that's concerned. So that's the exciting thing. But certainly, you know, we're extremely proud of what we've been able to do to that carnival. And every year we've stretched ourselves to come up with something different to add to the carnival, and this year it's the Pro Day Star. So yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the things that I know the board's very proud of. The board's very proud of how we made it through the floods. You know, we had over a metre of water across the entire complex a few years ago, and within 2 months we were back racing. So we have certainly faced adversity, and we've come through all of that very well. So there are probably just a couple of things that, you know, I've been extremely proud of what the club's achieved.
Now, what about New Zealand? I said it at the top of the interview. For Australian harness racing to be prospering, we need a strong New Zealand. It's very important that they are strong, but they've obviously got some challenges over there.
Yeah, Greg, they're very much in a rebuilding phase. And look, you know, pleasingly, some of the building blocks are already in place, but there's more that needs to be done, and it will get done over in New Zealand. But work has already commenced on rebuilding harness racing New Zealand. In the next couple of weeks, you'll see some announcements come out of New Zealand that will continue to put those building blocks in place. And the first thing that we needed was, you know, a really good wagering partner. We've now got that with Entain and the TAB over there, and they've certainly put a lot of wind into the sails of racing in New Zealand. But it's just the start, and there's a lot more work that will be done, and that's the part that I'm really excited about on what we can do to continue to, you know, to accelerate the growth of New Zealand harness racing, which, as I said, has been lamenting for a couple of years.
You haven't been afraid to try something new in Queensland. Will it be something similar there in New Zealand, do you think?
Yeah, look, I hope I haven't left all my ideas in the bag in Queensland, Greg, but look, I've always been a firm believer that, you know, innovation is the lifeblood of progress, and it fuels hope. And any time you can come out with some innovation, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. If it doesn't work, just fail fast and try something else. But I'm already thinking about some innovations for New Zealand to put to the Harness Racing Board about some new concepts. I think that's something that I will definitely hope that I bring to Harness Racing New Zealand is some ideas around innovation and what could get changed. I certainly want to respect the past, but we do need to accelerate the future in New Zealand.
So tell us how you got involved in harness racing. You've been around a while. You've done some work at Redcliffe. So how did it all start for you?
It started with a horse by Batman many years ago, trained by Jack Southgate. My dad came by it, $800. I think it won 5 trials. We got excited. It never won a race, and we were hooked. And so that's how it started. And then we progressively owned more and more horses. And when John McCarthy moved to Queensland, he was our main trainer. And we part-owned Cobbity Classic with John that runs second in the New Zealand Cup. So I've been involved in ownership. I've bred a few horses. I was chairman of Redcliffe for a number of years. I've been on the Breeders Association, the Owners Association, and now of late chairing Albion Park. And I've also spent some time on the Racing Queensland Board looking after the 3 codes. So a good mix of administration and volunteering.
How do you see the health of harness racing in the Southern Hemisphere? Do you think we're building in the right direction?
Yeah, look, I think there's probably a number of different speeds operating in the Southern Hemisphere at the moment, Greg. There's probably a couple that, you know, are probably on a downward slide at the moment, and they'll be looking to rebuild. There's probably a few that are rebuilding, and there's a couple that are going quite okay. But I think we're all faced with the same challenges in terms of how we continue to grow, you know, our foal numbers, the wagering, the ownership, and participation. So I think we all still face those challenges. But look, I tend to think we're travelling okay. I put it like that. There's still room for improvement.
And what about New Zealand? How long? Like, have you signed a contract, or is it a long term thing? What's going to happen going forward?
Well, I think it probably depends on how I perform, Greg, as to the tenure of of my contract. So long as I'm performing, you know, I'd like to think that, you know, I've got 3 years there. I'm not personally a firm believer in big contracts, because you've got to have that sense of urgency that you need to get in and get the job done, rather than, you know, think that you've got 5 years to get the work done. So, but it will all depend on my performance as to my tenure in New Zealand. But that doesn't worry me at all.
How long until you get your feet under the desk? Like, when do you start?
So I officially start on the 1st of July, but I'm going to pop over there a week beforehand, Greg, just to get across some announcements that Harness Racing New Zealand, in conjunction with Entain the Tab, will be announcing in July. So I'm heading over a little bit early, but 1st of July is officially when I start.
And are you, obviously Queensland ran a very successful one in the Inter-Dominion. Are you a big believer in the Inter-Dominion?
I am, Greg, and I mentioned to somebody the other day that sadly today it's more of a Dominion than an Inter-Dominion.
Mm.
There's less and less states and countries wanting to participate in the Dominion. I'll be certainly looking to test the appetite in New Zealand for them to get back into the rotation. I think it needs to be preserved. It needs to be invested in. And I know Queensland, you know, is a firm believer in that. And I understand that other states, you know, probably may not have the financial strength that they'd like to. But it's one thing I'll certainly be talking to Harness Racing New Zealand about, is their appetite to get back into the rotation.
Well, New Zealand got themselves a very good administrator. When I heard the news that you're going across, my ears pricked up, because I thought you're willing to try things in Queensland, you'll roll the dice, you won't sit on your hands, and I think we're getting to the situation in New Zealand where they probably need something like that. So looking forward to seeing how you go over there in New Zealand, and it's been really good to catch up with you today.
Yeah, great. Nice talking to you, Greg, and hopefully we'll have some quick wins announced in the next couple of weeks over there.
There he is, Brad Steele. He is the new CEO of Harness Racing New Zealand, and he is going to kick off his tenure on the 1st of July. Time for the Menangle Express. Race one, the fave was Stravinsky at $1.95. There was great speed from Bluto, who crossed down to lead. Surf Ace mustered to hold the spot behind the leader, and Stravinsky was able to drop to three pegs. Behind it was Little Bliss, then Windy Hill Tara, Tuppence, Chevron Art and Cassius Deck. Jillaby Nitro, Port Our Prince were off the pegs but sat at the tail of the field. 26.6 followed by 29.1. Forget how fast that first quarter is. I think the second quarter is becoming the most important in Menangle. If you back it off there, the lead has become very hard to run down. Stravinsky and Little Bliss came off the inside at the 750, giving Jillaby Nitro cover. 27.8 to the turn. Windy Hill Tara pushed off and was driven a treat. Tuppence followed, and it charged home when clear. But Bluto too fast up the straight. 27.9 home, 151.4 the mile. Jillaby Nitro was plain back in the field after I've wrapped him up at his last few. Cassius Deck wasn't too bad late, didn't mind his run. Tuppence is definitely going to win one soon. Race two, favourite here was Bartello at $2.80. There was speed early from Bartello and Have You Checked In before Bartello crossed and then released Angus Indiana. They went into Indian File early, so it was Angus Indiana, Bartello, Have You Checked In, Way Out West, Outside Fighter, Stir Me Up, Titifa and Turbo Tommy. Lead time was 50.8. Outside Fighter was flushed out off the pegs at the 1100, and all horses behind him came off the pegs. 31.6 first quarter, followed by 29.1. Angus Indiana was under pressure at the cages. Outside Fighter was being flicked along as well. Geary waited for as long as he could on Bartello before he pushed off the inside on the apex of the corner. 27.8 third quarter, then Bartello dashed away at the top of the straight. Way Out West had to ease around Outside Fighter to get into the clear and worked home nicely. Once it did get clear running, Outside Fighter battled on. Angus Indiana looked to have every chance in front. 27.7 final quarter for a mile rate of 156.9. Bartello low flying now with three in a row and a very smart drive from Geary. Race number three, back to the mile, and the favourite was Golden Bay at $2. It led comfortably and then went into single file. So it was Golden Bay, It's Mine on the Line, Foxy Dada, Wave the Bill, El Camino, Nicholas Cage, My Ultimate Snowy, Has the Courage, Lockyer and Corby Stumbler. Jack Callaghan kept the speed on throughout, never gave his rivals a chance to come up for air. The first two quarters were 27-1 and 28-2. The speed was on to the extent that nothing came off the pegs until El Camino did at the 500-metre mark. 27-5 round the side and Golden Bay slipped away. Foxy Data came away from the inside and went out after the leader. El Camino and Nicolas Cage were behind him in the running line. Golden Bay got really tired late. Foxy Data ran over the top of him. 28-3 for a 151 1 mile. Nicolas Cage was wide on the track, held third with My Ultimate Snowy on his inside, finishing fourth. Not a lot to report from that race. The more I look at these races, that second quarter over the mile, 28-2, just too slick. Leader got caught. Hewitt got a 29-1 in the first and one. Race number four, favourite here was Minos at 160. There was a bit of speed. American Spirit and Harmony came hard off the arm, with American Spirit getting to the front before it let Ever Art go, and then Ever Art let Minos go in a very fast 26-6 first quarter. So they settled down like this: Minos, Ever Art, American Spirit, Harmony, Cabana and Tukaha. Running line, Doris to pay the bill, Edward J, Forceful and Spunky's Got Secrets. Second quarter, they backed it off to 29-1. There is that slow second quarter again, and Minos was travelling strongly at the cages. Everything looked to be struggling. 27-8 to the turn. Minos was off for the prize. Forceful swung 4 and 5 wide to try and get into the fight, but in the end, it was all about those horses on the pegs. In fact, the first five horses on the pegs ran first to fifth in order. 27-7 up the straight, 151-2 the mile. Nice horse, Minos. Put those away pretty easily and was very strong to the line. Forceful came via the cape to get into it, but was beaten more than 20 metres in seventh. Not much outside the winner there, I don't think. Race number five, Hi, My Name Is Jeff, was the 145 fave, and he got a scare when he pig-rooted in the score up and looked like he was going to miss it. However, he got down. He caught the mobile. In fact, timed it perfectly, so he was at full speed when the starter said go. Typo went up in the air at that very moment and was out of play immediately. Hi, My Name Is Jeff sped out, led, and then they went into single file. So it was the fave, then came Hot and Treacherous, Oliver Bubbles, the croupier, Malcolm's Rhythm, Firefox, Pete Said So, Montalbano and Typo, 27-9, 28-6. So the speed was good. They dashed around the side in 27-3. All of the runners fanned on the turn. I'm screaming at the TV, stay to the pegs. Not surprisingly, Robbie Morris was the one who stuck there and saved some ground. Hi, My Name Is Jeff had to find in the straight as Hot and Treacherous came to his outside. Came at him late, but never looked like he was really going to win. I'll Have a Bubbles did a good job to hold third. Smart Drive, Robbie on Pete Said So, got fourth. Malcolm's Rhythm finished fifth. He's going really well at the moment, Malcolm's Rhythm. He can place at huge odds in a similar sort of race. 26-9 up the straight, mile rate of 150.7. Race number six, the favourite here was Carrera Sunset at 180. There was great speed from More Gooder, and Amore Infida continued to press on. So on the pegs, it was Amore Infida, More Gooder, My Stella Rose, Winona Ryder and Major Envy. Running line was Young, Gifted and Black. Consider it done. Carrera Sunset, You Take My Breath Away and Heavenly Sign. 26-5 the first quarter, then a 28-8 second split. Not many moves before the turn. 28-2 around the side. More Gooder got off the back of Amore Infida and looked to be a winning chance turning for home. Those in the running line fanned. Carrera Sunset was four wide turning. You Take My Breath Away was wider. As they got to the 150, the leaders started to stop, and those out wide started to fly home. On the post, it was Carrera Sunset winning narrowly from You Take My Breath Away. Picked up late the winner. Good drive on More Gooder by Heart. Gave it every chance. You could throw a blanket over them. Major Envy had traffic issues. Amanda Turnbull, really good driver. Gee, she's good. Squeezed through late but didn't have the momentum on those wider, of those wider on the track. Winona Ryder squeezed through on the pegs as well. 28-8 home. That worries me a little bit. Not sure the form out of that one will be too strong. 152.3 was the mile. Race number seven, favourite was Lou's Dream at $2. There was speed early from Mayor of Elwood, who crossed the favourite early. Seton Grimer looked to come off, but Chris Geary shut the door with Ultimate Bird in the run to the post, and then Ultimate Bird was able to run to the front. So they settled down on the pegs with Ultimate Bird in front of Mayor of Elwood, Lou's Dream, Titian Raider, Red Reactor, Sheffield Sparky. Running line was He's Dusty, Ricochet, Major Statement and Sunday Mornings. Now, Titian Raider came off the pegs at the 900 to make sure it didn't get pocketed when the running line moved forward and effectively put the fave in the airtight pocket, Lou's Dream. 27-2 off the gate, followed by 29 through the second. As they passed the cages, Mayor of Elwood started to tire, and then Titian Raider started to feel the pinch in the death as well. Lou's Dream was still in a tight pocket on the pegs. He's Dusty got going on the corner from the 1-1. That gave Lou's Dream some room to move, but Grimer had to ease to come around two or three horses. Geary, on the other hand, driving Ultimate Bird, put his foot flat to the floor and tried to pinch it 27-9 and then set up a big break halfway up the straight. He's Dusty and Lou's Dream were closing late but couldn't reel in Ultimate Bird. Smart drive, Chris. 28-3 home for a 152 4 mile. Lou's Dream unlucky. Grimer could have come off at the 1,000 but didn't want to do all that work. It'll be winning pretty soon. Story of the race was the Geary drive, turning back the clock a few years with that one. Race 8, it was the trot. The fave was She's a Pleasure at $3.40. There was a lot of chopping and changing in this one with several leaders in the first part of the race. Down Under Earl showed speed but was crossed by the best Burman, who let Sonny G go. It let She's a Pleasure slide past, and then Jungle Eyes worked to the front. So in order on the pegs, it was Jungle Eyes, She's a Pleasure, Sonny G, the best Burman, Down Under Earl, Electro Jet, Running Line, Affair to Cover, Leaf Stride, Chief Running Cloud, and Sally M. Lead time was 50.7, first quarter 29.8, then 30.3. Leaf Stride took off three wide at the cages. Chief Running Cloud jumped onto its back for a ride home. She's a Pleasure came off the inside before the home turners, Affair to Cover, dropped back. Sonny G followed through, and the best Bourbon got off as well, but Cam Hart made the decision to go to the outside and try and chase the leaders down. 30.4 the third quarter. She's a Pleasure went for home. Sonny G got to its outside pretty quickly and put the race away in a few strides. Best Bourbon did a good job late for third. 29.2 up the straight. Mile rate of 159.3. No real excuses for the beaten brigade. Sonny G deserved that. Good drive too. And race 9, the last. The fave was Hector at 3.10. There was speed early from Arden's Ace, who worked to the front, but he normally looks for cover. And LL Cool J worked to the front before turning into the straight the first time. So in this order, it was LL Cool J, Arden's Ace, Romany, Rocket Boy, Our Uncle Jim, Joni N, Hector, and Double Encounter was caught off the pegs and couldn't get forward or back. 51.3 lead time was slow. As they passed the judge, Hector came out for cover on Double Encounter's back. Joni N joined the running line as well. First quarter 31.6 and then 30, so the leaders had every chance. The speed went on from there, though. Double Encounter was gone on the turn, so Hector peeled out and came with the one run. Arden's Ace had enough room through the middle, and LL Cool J on the pegs was battling. 27.9, then 26.7 up the straight over the longer trip. Arden's Ace and Hector, they hit the line together. Now, Freddie Hastings, he's got that finish down pat. He knows that finishing line so well. Went close to a dead heat. He did say Hector, if anything. Great eyes, Freddie. No real excuses. Anything behind the first three. It did become a dash up the straight. Mile rate was slow, 157.2. A best win of the night. Going to go with Minos. Three-year-old dominated his rivals, never gave them a look in. Class above them, and he proved that with a big win. Pretty handy three-year-old, I think. Best beaten effort of the night. I'll go with Lou's Dream. I thought Seaton had a few chances to come off, but didn't. In the end, the horse was set too big a task. He'll win one pretty soon, I think. Best drive of the night? Take your pick from Chris Geary's two, but I'll go with Ultimate Bird. Took off when he could see the main danger was in a pocket and all the horses around him were starting to drop off. Smart drive. Probably doesn't get the drives that he did when he was a claiming driver, but still right up there with the best of them skill-wise in the state. Best drive of the night? Chris Geary on Ultimate Bird.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Winning? Hey, that's pretty good.
Winner!
That was legitness.
That I say, all right, all right, all right.
Wow, winning.
Bam! Just like that. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. A winner. Just like that.
I'm the winner is...
Mr. T got one winner last week with Artful Prince winning. I got two winners, with both Where's Harry and American Spirit winning at Menangle last Tuesday. So in this round, I'm plus $19. Mr. T is minus 23. So I've already set up a nice little lead on him. Let's have a look at what he's tipping this week. Menangle on Tuesday, race 8, number 5, American Hammer. Set it on Outside Fighter 3 starts ago and beat it for speed in the straight, and then found Minos too much to handle last start. No Minos this week, and from the good draw should find itself in a pretty good spot. Race 8, number 5, American Hammer. And Mr. T's going to Wagga on Tuesday night. Race 6, number 9, I like what I see. Jared Karlefelt to drive this mare that has only won the one race, and that was at Newcastle last September. Has been racing consistently. Might need some gaps to run through late, but if it gets some luck, might be able to sneak another win. Race 6, Number 9, I Like What I See. My 2, I'm going to go to Newcastle on Monday. Race 8, number 3, Mick Danger. Now with Ian Wilson, it went to the line last start at Penrith in a full Nilsson. Never got out and looked to have a fair bit to offer. It's got the front row. It looks to have found a pretty winnable race. So race 8, Newcastle, number 3, Mick Danger. And Menangle Tuesday, I'm going to go race 4, number 3, Sweet Hayley Jane. Has put together a really good record overall. This is easier than last week when she took on Cash and Bling and Co. Does have good speed. I'm really worried by I Can Try. She needs luck in her races, but she'll be flooding home late. Hopefully Sweet Hayley Jane can hang on in the shadows of the post. So I'm going to go race 4, number 3, Sweet Hayley Jane at headquarters on Tuesday. That just about wraps up the podcast for another week. Plenty of guests this week. Thanks to Jack Callaghan, Grant Alul, Toby Pay. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I did reach out to George Lee after his first win at Canberra, but I didn't hear back from George, so couldn't get him on the podcast. And something different with Brad Steele, the new boss of Harness Racing New Zealand. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. I'll be back again next week with another episode of the Sunday Session. I will catch you then.